Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is Lydia Benia, and you're listening to Why Are People Into That with Tina Horn.
Welcome to the 50th episode of Why Are People Into That, the podcast that never, ever does anything nice and easy. Okay, so this is the 50th official episode. Holy shit. I'd like to thank my mama and Elvis. But seriously, actually, I'd really, really, really like to take a moment to thank my listeners. That's you, my patrons. I know you're listening. And everyone who has ever been a guest or given me audio advice or helped me to stack paper for the show. Why Are People Into That has always been a 100% indie endeavor by me to create the kinds of conversations I want to have about sex, kink, gender, and love. I'm not planning on slowing down anytime soon, so here's to 50 more episodes and many more years of kinky slut radio. For the 50th episode, I have a very special guest, sex ed legend Midori, discussing one of her specialities, female dominance. Part 2 of my conversation with Midori will be out on August 15th. I have been releasing episodes early for my Patreon patrons, so if you like the show and you want to be a part of the Cool Pervert Club, check out patreon.com/TINAHORN. New York City, please come to my Getting Clean to Get Dirty class at the Pleasure Chest on 2nd Avenue, Wednesday, August 30th. This is a new class for me, inspired by all the people who ask me for advice about preparing for butt sex. It also might be about how much I personally love enemas. It's free, and you get 15% off anything you buy in the store that night. If you live in New York and you listen to the podcast, I seriously really want to meet you, and this is a great chance to do that. Also, it looks like I'm going to be doing some exciting collaborative stuff at the Sex Expo in Brooklyn on September 23rd, so mark your calendars for that. Okay, see you there. All of August is actually anal month at the Pleasure Chest. Start the month off right listening to my interview with Brandon B, all about different butt toys. Pleasure Chest is hosting a lineup of butt-friendly workshops all month long, including Butt Sex Basics with Denise and Matan on August 2nd in New York City, Anal Sex 201 with Tristan Terramino on August 16th in Los Angeles, and Shawnee Holloway's Bend Over Buddy class on August 30th in Chicago. The full lineup of free workshops is always available at pleasurechest.com. Oh, and don't forget to let them know that you heard about the workshops on Why Are People Into That. Follow at Tina Horn's Ass on Twitter and Instagram so you'll never miss an update. And now, pull your bright red pumps out of your locker and conspicuously change into them before homeroom. For Why Are People Into Female Domination? Midori, how's it going?
Hey, I'm going good. I'm back in my other favorite city, New York, so I am happy.
And your primary favorite city, of course, would be San Francisco.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Left my heart, soul, body, lust, and various body fluids in San Francisco.
How long have you lived in San Francisco?
Oh, geez. You know, I've been in the Bay for...
You know what? Yeah. Honestly, the sounds of New York will just be atmospheric.
We're
in Midtown.
For everyone listening, it is the sound of sirens in the background. It is a natural environmental bird call of New York City. But, you know, there aren't as many honking here as there used to be.
Interesting. Yeah. What do you think that's about?
Oh, I don't know. I have no idea. But yes, I hear the bird calls of New York City. Oh, yes.
Emergency.
Yeah. So this is the authentic sound, not sound clip of New York City.
Oh, my God. That would be a lot more effort for me to just like put in all of that.
Right.
As my sound design. Nope. This is just punk as fuck.
Yeah. So the Bay Area. I've been in the Bay since the mid 80s.
Cool.
Been in San Francisco since 91. So, you know, a couple years.
Cool. Yeah, just one or two. And in San Francisco, which is where I originally know you from, you are a living legend in the sex education
world. Oh my God,
world.
Rock I'm not star. Dead yet.
You don't live, emphasis on the living, very much living legend. Writer as well. I have devoured all of your books, and I would say from my perspective that you're most known for your education around bondage. I think
that's shifting though. Shifting. Yeah.
Yeah. What would you say it's shifting to?
Well, it's certainly known. I'm certainly known for that, but I think in general, I am known for really quality education around kink and adventurous sex. So,
awesome.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people may know me initially from the rope bondage classes, but I think it's more the substance around the motivation, the psychology, and improving one's quality of play.
Awesome. I'm all about that.
Yeah.
That's great. And so you're here in New York to do your Forte Femme intensive weekend, which is 3 days.
Forte Femme.
Forte Femme. Yeah.
And it's a made up word, so it's a made up pronunciation.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Forte Femme. Mm-hmm. Women's Dominance Weekend Intensive.
Fantastic. Now, if someone were to sign up for Forte Femme,
mm-hmm.
what could they expect?
Okay. So this is Forte Femme is myself, 9 women, 3 days. And it is a brain dump and it is a power surge. It is about tapping into your authentic power from the bedroom to the boardroom.
Cool.
Yeah. It starts Friday night, so it will be starting this evening.
Uh-huh.
Yes. It has been sold out.
I can feel the anticipation crackling in the air.
Yeah. It's been sold out for ages.
Cool.
With a waiting list. In fact, I have had people signing up this week for the waiting list. They'll have to come back for the August or October program. But starts Friday night, and instructions pretty much immersive from Friday night through Sunday night, includes a field trip and a lot of really, really good deep dive education and a lifetime of skill that people will come out from this. And then once they graduate, they belong to the Alumni Association.
Oh, cool. I bet there's a lot of perks there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In fact, we just, every time I'm in town, we have a alumni reunion too. Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing that it's about education, but also community building as well.
Yes.
That's really fucking cool.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like part of the idea behind this intensive is learning about female or feminine or femme power in a way that will improve your sex life, but probably also heighten your relationship to the power that you have in all avenues of mm-hmm. your life. And that doesn't mean just like being sexual in the grocery store or being sexual in the office, but knowing how to use those
ethical power and leadership that's creating win-win-win situation. And in the bedroom, it is about creating a win-win situation so that everybody's desires and pleasures may be met.
Mm.
How does this translate to the boardroom? It is about understanding with clarity the actual need and want that's beneath the surface of conventional language, to create that like overlap of want, desire, need, to collaboratively create, a desired outcome. And that could be software management. It could be preparing for trial. It could be getting your team's assets lined up and budgeting lined up for your team. It may also be about the hottest vanilla sex. And it's all of it. I've actually had my Forte FM graduates, I mean, they've certainly been exploring this in their bedroom in kink and vanilla sex, but I had one woman come back and say, you know, I use the tools that I learned from this, she said, to ask for the raise that I deserve.
Fuck yeah.
I had another woman who said that I use the tools and the conversation skills in this in order that I may advocate for my child who has special needs with the school district.
Oh my God.
And we're not talking about she's showing up. Okay, just to clarify for the listeners out there, she's not showing up in like thigh boots and whips, but rather saying, these are my needs.
Yeah.
What are your needs and why are you saying back to me and how do we come up with a way that everyone's happy without anyone being shunned to the sidelines or feeling unheard?
Sounds like something that everybody should do.
Yeah. So for...
I mean, this is why there's a waiting list.
Yeah, there is. And for the women, I have Forte FM because I find that there's not a lot of places for, even in the kink and the SM and sex positive subculture, there's not a lot of places for women to explore a non-cliched, without stepping into the usual tropes. Exploration of power and leadership.
Yes.
And even less so out in, I mean, here we are in Midtown. Look around. I mean, we're in one of the power centers of the world.
Yeah.
And women in tech feeling silenced.
Absolutely.
You know, women in politics being talked over.
No kidding.
Women in the bedroom not being able to say, you know, half an inch to the left, honey.
Definitely.
You know, and
I will say, I will say in Midtown, I have seen more impressive stiletto walking on concrete than I've seen in any dungeon. You know, I mean, it's one thing to walk across.
Fierce.
It's one thing to walk across a dungeon floor and then get up on a bed. It's another thing to walk across Grand Central Station. So we do, New York does have some of that.
New York broads power. Are fierce.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's another weekend that I do, and it's called Make Hot Play Happen.
Cool.
That one is great for individuals and all genders, but also awesome for people in partnered relationships with however many partners they may have.
Sure.
Because that one actually builds upon conversation.
Oh, you know, you're speaking my language, the language of language.
Yes. So it's around how to clearly identify your own hunger. If you can identify your own hunger and you have a better skill set about really understanding what you're hungry for, then you can better find out what your partner wants. And what Marsha and I co-teach with Marsha B. We call this the sexual sophisticate skill.
Cool.
And, you know, we've known people who they have this particular way where they make it seem so easy.
Yes, it's true. Or like they're psychic, right?
Right. They seem like they're psychic.
Right.
And you know that's not the case. It's actually a lifetime of emotional skills and conversational muscles that they've learned to flex so well that it goes unnoticed. It's like how athletes can make things look so easy.
Right.
Is a way that sexual sophisticates make creating mutually just mind-blowing scenes so sophisticated and so easy and so smooth. And it's not, they're not born to it.
That's true.
And so this weekend that we teach is about, it's kind of like boot camp for seeming like psychics.
Sexual psychic boot camp. Oh my God. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
I love that idea of understanding your hunger, really sort of understand what your appetites are for. Because if you don't know, if you just have a hunger, but you don't actually know what you're hungry for, then you're not going to be sated and you're just going to have this empty pit in your stomach
and you
all
keep
the time.
Stuffing and stuffing and stuffing.
Right.
And feeling
unsatisfied.
Yeah. Now you can go for hungry for a while. I mean, haven't we all?
Lord knows.
And when we know exactly what we want, that hunger may be very specific.
True.
But when you get to feed it.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. And listeners, what you don't see is we're both looking at each other with this glazed over look. As we're both thinking about, right? Were you not thinking about that particular time when you waited for that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. You got to build up an appetite sometimes.
Anything come to mind? I mean, shall we go into a little bit of a, you know, no names mentioned, nitty gritty?
I mean, I guess several things are coming to mind.
I'm making her fluster.
You are. Well, we have barely begun. Okay.
Let's just dive into the dirty.
Let's do it. I think
they want to hear this.
They definitely do. Yeah. And that is what this show is for.
And while you're thinking about this, I mean, the thing about identifying hungers, thing about Forte FM as well, thing about Make Hot Play Happen, is not about filling your life with constant orgasms, because we won't get our bills paid.
That is true. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. But sometimes your orgasms pay the bills.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? It's like,
And not also, sometimes the bill paying orgasms are not necessarily the ones that satiate that hunger that we're talking about.
And so,
they can like translate into satiating like your literal hunger for food, because the orgasms pay the bills, which include the grocery bill. Anyway.
So I want to reframe this idea of a life filled with pleasure. Mm. There's a tendency out there to think of life filled as pleasure as somehow being all the time in a height of pleasure. But I think it's about quality and qualitative as opposed to quantitative.
Right. That's true. I feel like there's definitely an expectation that, you know, you start to open up yourself to sexual exploration or sexual cultures, and that is going to translate into Caligula hedonism 24/7, and that is that's rarely the case, and that's rarely what we're all talking about when we are suggesting that people explore and experiment.
And it's that knowing what you're hungry for, that when you've set up all the situation and you've waited and waited, and then you get to taste that which you're hungry for, the taste actually then lingers in the satisfaction even after the time has passed. It lingers.
You know, I think to answer your question, something that's coming to mind for me is that when I was in my mid-20s and getting turned out in San Francisco pervert world, the first time that I had a really good spanking from someone who themselves was a spanking fetishist, it definitely satisfied me in a way that I hadn't even known to order that off the menu. And so I think that my experience was I had done enough exploring and was doing enough reading and going to classes and having open conversations, not only with lovers and partners, play partners, but also with friends, with community, with colleagues, that it sharpened my intuition. And to like extend this, the hunger metaphor, it was like I understood my appetite, so that when I had the first taste of something that I hadn't tasted before, I knew that that was something that would continue to feed me. Mm-hmm. And I think if I hadn't been doing all of that exploring and, you know, tasting around, that maybe I wouldn't have known it when I saw it, mm-hmm. and been mm-hmm. ready for it. And I was. And now here we are.
Let's see. So I can think of several. Let's see. So thinking of the making the sweet lingering hunger worth it, right? Now, I like a long flirtation.
Okay.
I like a long flirtation with the crevice of the back alleys and the crevice of the mind and the back alleys of the imagination.
Oof.
Yeah, stroked. Yeah. The long wait. I remember once a particularly stunningly long lunch, during which time the actual food, not metaphorical food, mm-hmm. consumed lingeringly slowly with glances stolen with double and triple innuendo of another extremely exquisitely verbally skilled jouster. So on the surface, it was all talking about art.
Uh-huh. Oh, art, so sexy.
And then seemingly to actually talk about the artists, the whatever artwork that we were mm-hmm. enjoying and their pleasure life and inspiration. But underneath it all, talking about further set of hungers of the two people that happened to be devouring the lunch, the stolen glances, the intentional finger laid upon the wrist, and then
what was the food?
Oh, steak.
Oh, yes.
Rare.
Oh, you read my mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sorry, vegetarians.
Sorry, not sorry.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And
they can imagine like a portobello mushroom or whatever. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And it's been opera, it's been Rodin's, it's been paintings, it's been and then slowly walking through or listening to this like beautiful, beautiful artwork, and then at the end, unable to take it anymore, and me looking to my left, looking to my right, and there's that moment of privacy. There is the moment stolen in a back alley or finally slipped behind the closed doors and shoved up against a wall, hand around throat, and the swift kiss and then turning away.
Oof. And then what?
I leave it at that.
Oh, shit. Okay. Well, there are plenty of places that people can find out more if they're curious about what else is on your deviant mind. Okay, where was I? Midori, I really think that to honor this weekend of Forte Femme that you're about to embark on, how long have you been doing it?
In this form, well over a decade. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So I would be so honored if we could explore why are people into female dominance. Mm. So we could put that in terms of femdom, sort of the like iconic dominatrix dynamic.
I'm going to reframe this actually.
Yes, please do.
It's about dominance for, it's about dominance of people who identify as or have some parts of themselves that are feminine. It's not femdom.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I actually separate that, mm-hmm. right?
Tell me more.
Because I find that the term femdom, as it stands today at the time of this recording, have a lot of baggage and assumptions.
That is true.
I am looking at this as people who top from a femme space.
Okay.
Right? In that moment. Not that they necessarily identify as femme. Now, why am I creating a weekend? If so, why am I creating a women for a weekend for women only? Because there isn't enough space for, there aren't spaces where this can be explored.
That's absolutely true.
And in the context of our busy, complicated lives, because the thing that we honor in this weekend is we're all busy. We're all freaking busy. We have family, we have work, we have careers, we have volunteerism, we have friends, we have responsibility in so many realms, that how much time do we have left for play and to actually check into our own hunger? And I am not going to say to the people that, oh, we need to make more time for play. Yeah, we'd like to all. I mean, don't we all?
Yeah.
But the reality is we don't. And I'm first operating from a place of reality.
Yeah, yeah.
So of the little bit of time that we have, if you can squirrel away an hour in that week, and that may be really pushing it, you know what? Within that hour, let's make a count.
Yeah.
And so while, the weekend is Women's Dominance Weekend Intensive. Why that? Because we come from the reality of the responsibilities and the limitations of being women in this world. This also includes the bullshit that we have been raised with.
I've heard about that.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
It's the, you know, seen but not heard, to put our desires on the back burner. So, you know, consider what it is, how to please one's, how many sex classes have we seen? That's like, please your man, please your partner, please your other.
That's all you see online and all that.
Because
in the
we've
magazines.
Been taught, yeah. We've been taught to put ourselves, our own hungers on the back burner. And I'm coming from a place of, if we can identify what we're hungry for, then we also give our other partners permission to be hungry for what they are.
That's absolutely true. Leading by example, right?
Yeah.
So what is hot about topping from a femme space?
Confidence is sexy.
That is definitely true.
Confidence is seductive. And confidence that also comes with confidence of vulnerability.
Oh, I love that.
Right? So we tend to think, especially in the United States, now context for the listeners, I'm actually originally from Japan.
Right.
And so I think in Japan there may be a little more comfort in the gray area.
Interesting. Of strength and vulnerability.
But so many other things.
Interesting.
That it is not all winners and losers. It is not all about, there's this idea that leading is better than following. No. Mm. How can you lead if there's no one to follow?
That's true.
And how can you follow with grace and strength if you have no one that you might want to follow?
Makes sense to me.
Right. And so, but vulnerability as also strength and beauty, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And there's this whole idea that oh, you know, vulnerability is weakness. Oh no.
It's taken, I would love to talk about this more. It is, it's taken me a lot of work to recognize what you're talking about. And I think I still have a long way to go. But feeling the importance of vulnerability, especially with intimacy, and the power of being willing to be vulnerable is something that I feel grateful to have had guidance and experience.
At a really specific level. Let's talk vulnerability from a really biological and evolutionary place, right?
Please
vulnerability
do.
As the moment in which one is vulnerable to, or may have possible risk for predation, may have possible risk for physical risk, and physical risk because you are not vigilant to one's environment. That's like a vulnerability, right?
Right.
The moment of orgasm is profoundly vulnerable.
No kidding. You're exposed.
You are exposed. You are not paying attention to one's environment. You are in physical convulsions. You are in spasms. You neurotransmitters and body fluids are squirting all over the place.
And you're out of control.
Out of control. And yeah, so orgasm in that moment is at an animal level vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So in that, if one can have such intense amount of leadership and power to say, I choose this physical, biological vulnerability with you, and you will do the things that I tell you to, that I can experience that vulnerability, and you will be graced by that gift and be awed by it.
Oh my God. That idea of an orgasm as leadership is something I'm going to meditate on a little bit.
And the one chosen to create that.
Or collaborate on it.
And to serve that vulnerability.
That rules.
So there we go.
All right. I'm sold.
I wish you all could see her blushing. Okay.
It's just the tea.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
What specifically is feminine about what you just described?
That is up to each woman that comes to the course.
Mm-hmm.
And we go through this whole exercise around what defines feminine for each woman. What's unique about Forte Femme is it's not about getting a formula, and it's not about act X, Y, or Z way. Mm. So for some people who are operating at a very superficial level, it may be frustrating. But what it is instead is about giving each woman the tool by which to be her most authentic self in the moment. And each of the 9 participants, their idea of feminine is going to be very different. We go through what is my version of a Jungian approach to individual archetype building. But it's not about attaching oneself to a single archetype. By the end of the weekend, you will have dozens of this, and to recognize that in our play or kink or DS relationship, or even how one may lead your team in your project management, you have different models models and archetypes of that, and to have those archetypes up your sleeve, so you go, oh, you know, right now, this one, right now, that one.
So you wrote an essay about this subject that was in your book, Wild Side Sex.
Yeah.
Which I read many years ago. And there was a specific exercise about finding your femme archetypes.
That's the one. And it's been developed even more richly since.
I want to hear more about how it's developed, but I do want to tell you that I had read that, and when I was starting out in my pro-dom career, I sort of sat down and did that exercise and wrote down like a lot of my femme archetypes, which, by the way, at that time, a lot of my sort of heroes and role models were men, actually. Mm-hmm. I'd always been sort of like attracted to sort of the Rolling Stones kind of like rock and roll masculinity. And
I got a little Mick in me too.
Yeah, I believe that. I mean, he of course is like very in touch with some feminine energy. We could talk about that.
Oh, Mick's a hot babe.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and I think a lot of my like intellectual heroes were male as well, and so it was a little bit of a challenge for me to think about who my female heroes were, and the process of thinking about that made me realize, it sort of started me realizing how much internalized misogyny I have around power that I associated. The qualities that I wanted to embody, physical strength, intellectual prowess, artistic, like creativity, experimentation, and boldness, with masculinity. Two of my archetypes, that I came up with from that exercise are who I named myself after, which was Tina Turner.
Oh,
and
yes.
And Audrey Horne from Twin Peaks.
Oh.
And so for me,
may fire walk with you.
Yeah, right. Oh my god. Have you been watching the new Twin
Peaks?
Not yet.
Okay. I'm saving for the binge.
Cool. It is infuriatingly everything that you want it to be. But anyway, and Audrey hasn't even shown up yet. It's crazy. I'm like, oh, where is Audrey? Anyway, you know, for me, Tina Turner is so boldly, explicitly sexual in mm-hmm. her musicality and her physicality as well.
And fearless about her vulnerability.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know, can do crazy things in stilettos, speaking of doing crazy things in stilettos, and you know, in tiny little glittery sequined dresses, but always always on the move, you know, endless like tireless energy, and like roughness and passion and all of that. So that's definitely like a feminine archetype for me. And then the Audrey Horne thing is actually something that was harder for me to be in touch with, that like coy, precocious, just coming into female power but knowing exactly what to do with it. So anyway, I guess I just wanted to say that simple exercise was so powerful and influential for me, and I haven't even been to the weekend intensive yet. That's just from a book.
I am so delighted and touched and thrilled with that.
Yeah. So thank you.
Hey.
Tell me about how that concept has evolved for you, the getting in touch with your feminine archetype exercise.
Okay, so we go through that going over a lot of different types of genres, from myth and religion, folklore, fairy tale, history, popular culture, and nowadays a huge amount of science fiction and comic books. A lot of the women coming through my program are high-level tech people.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
So they know they're superheroines.
Yeah, they totally do. Yeah. So we go through that, but then we go to what I call the inside-out and the outside-in method. The inside-out. Now, for the readers out there, you can find this exercise in the book Wild Side Sex.
Cool.
The inside-out is listing the emotional states and the attributes of what I call the power femmes, right? And so, all right, so what you just talked about, Tina, right? And not so much about what she's wearing, but that she's moving, that she's, what were the words you used?
That she's tireless. Mm-hmm. You know, she has tireless energy, that she is rough.
Yeah. And with Audrey, there's the coy and the mm-hmm. precocious and the sexually awakening.
Mm-hmm.
So taking all those attributes or psychological states. So look at the inside out. What kind of state do you want to be in play? And so the emotional state. And what are the conditions that will make that happen? What would the conditions be for you to be rough and a little bit coy?
I mean, definitely. I mean, I just keep coming back to the shoes for obvious reasons. I think, you know, having a having tall feminine shoes, having glitter, either having a microphone or having some version of a microphone. I'm holding a microphone right now. Or a stage, basically, like a stage and audience and encouragement to to perform, and also
so then
the, like to perform in a to be loud and to have the space where people want me to be exaggerated and outsized and loud and all over the place.
So if we were playing, then I would be hearing that, and I'd be like, honey, why don't we clear out the living room?
Yeah.
Why don't we change the lights so there's a spotlight? Why don't we bring in the karaoke machine, and I'm going to have one chair that is like the strip joint customer chair.
Yes. I will serenade you.
Right? Right?
Great.
And that would be fun.
It would be fun.
And it would be a way by which to get that emotional state.
And also, I have to say, even having you describe that, you know, karaoke is like my religion. And one thing that I love about karaoke is that, you know, I love to perform. I don't get as nearly as much stage fright as the average person. But it does still make me, I'm human. It gives me butterflies. Yeah. It makes me, and it makes me feel vulnerable.
Yeah.
You know, it makes me feel vulnerable to somebody laughing at me and saying, you're actually not a very good singer, or like, you know, why are you performing? Why are you such an attention hog? Mm-hmm. Right. So that's what I feel vulnerable to in those moments. And so to have somebody who is receptive to that performance and saying, yeah, I love it when you sing. I love it when you perform. I love it when you're exaggerated attention whore, attention hog. That kind of goes back to what you were saying about orgasm, like having someone be graced with my vulnerability in that way.
Yes. So that's the inside out, which is the emotional states. Mm. And how do we create that? In that exercise, that's revealed. And the other part of the exercise is what I call outside in. All right, so the emotional states, the inside out, maybe a little bit harder to tap into. Now, you've done this work, so you're really articulate on it. But it might be harder, right? Or if you have a huge list of these emotional states, oh my God, how do we narrow it down? The outside in is the role-playing way of approaching it.
Right.
So what are the outsides? In other words, outside includes how you're standing, right?
Mm.
And we do an exercise in Forte FM called Schlumpy versus Sexy. We intentionally do the, okay, give me the, you're sitting defensively in the subway sit.
Right.
You're having the exhausted after a 12-hour day working sit. All right, so how do you feel? All right, as opposed to straighten out your spines, all of that. So there's the physicality.
Yeah.
And then there's the little bit of, what are we wearing?
Right.
Yeah. You know, is Catwoman on your Power Femme list?
Probably.
Is it the shoes? Is it the this? Is it the that? You know, the outside in will bring a different feel.
Mm-hmm,
you know, it's like, all right, so tonight I have a white wool Neo Empire waist, a latter day Jackie O outfit.
Oh my God.
I'll have my hair up.
Mm.
I'll have my little Jackie O number with my Forte FM lapel pin with little Manolos and a cocktail ring.
Oh my God.
So not the dominatrix stereotype, right?
Absolutely not. Yeah. No.
You know, I think I'll have a gold necklace with a sunbeam on, and that will tap into the First Lady of Kink.
Oh my God. So Jackie O is a femme icon for you?
One.
Yeah.
But then last night.
At the Eagle?
Yeah, at the Eagle. I'm wearing knee-high boots.
Leather.
Black lace bra. and a leather apron.
Oh, yes, which you were also saying that you wore to Sweeney Todd as well, right?
Sweeney Todd with a dab of blood.
Oh, my God.
Fake blood, folks, fake blood. At least
it
this
was pretty
time.
Obviously fake blood. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So, yeah. And I had a swagger.
Of course you did.
I was strutting down the meatpacking district with my valet in attendance and, you know, the warm, sensuous breeze of summer night in New York City right underneath my leather apron and that warm leather caressing my thighs as I'm striding down the meatpacking district.
I love that you can also make the meatpacking district feel like it's
used to.
Still the 90s, right?
Mm-hmm. There were a couple of waiters that I could tell, yeah, you all leathermen and you're working your waiter job. I could see the couple of eyes like following along going, yeah.
She's keeping it real.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, sometimes it's you put on the outside,
yeah,
which allows the inside to have a rise.
And I think for people to feel comfortable having that versatility,
mm-hmm.
And that something you might want to embody something that is very classic or classical, you mm-hmm. know, for somebody, you know, I think it's also taken me a long time to realize that things that I perceive to be sort of clone-ish, and I don't mean like a like sexy sci-fi clone. I mean like cookie cutter, same looks in sexiness had always kind of bored me. And I think that it's taken me a while to realize that for some people that there's value in the classic look, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so especially being at leather contests and seeing, you know, people winning leather titles because of their ability to just embody something that is clean lines and like literally, you know, clean and polished and
symbolically potent.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. So for some people, just embodying that and looking in the mirror and saying, oh my God, I resemble something archetypical right now can be really powerful. And then also having things that are maybe unconventional or unusual variations on that. Like you were saying, you would not expect the first lady look to be the embodiment of being a dominatrix. But if that is a place that you find your femme power, mm-hmm. then it's about what works for you.
Yep, absolutely. And I'm actually trying to look up a photo right now that might be amusing, but did I show you the leather?
The leather apron from last night at Sweeney Todd? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God, that was so much fun. But yeah, it would be
fun to get to like go to a bootblack stand with that apron.
I know, right?
Like, yeah. Just like smear yourself all over the front of me with Hubbard's.
Oh yeah. And it was cool walking into the Eagle with that. And
just like on a Thursday night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, the bouncer was like, okay, you know, want to make sure you know what you're walking into. You know, you've been here before. Have you been here before? He asked. I mean, now, mind you, I'm wearing a leather apron.
Yeah. They can be a little, I've had experiences with bouncers that Eagle and other, you know, other male leather spaces where they're like, honey, are you prepared for, it's like, yes.
My response was, it's been a few years here, but the San Francisco Eagle, does that work? And they're like, oh, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking
of iconic. Yeah.
Well, that is very iconic. Shall we describe this
go
outfit?
For it.
Okay. So, full, ankle to neck, to wrist leather, fire engine red, so that's like a mermaid skirt, right? Where mm-hmm. it's sort of like a pencil skirt from high waist to knee, and then a sort of a frilly flare, like a mermaid's tail going all the way down to the shoes. And then a sort of villainess
Totally Disney Wicked Queen number.
Exactly, yeah. Like red and black corset, tightly cinched, with like a big red collar, and then this like huge sparkly statement necklace over, you know, the kind of cleavage you would expect from a tightly cinched corset, and of course that lovely cane. Your glasses.
And if you could see the shoes, I mean, the red lace platform mules with tassels on the back.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I wore that to IML. And I think the difference between clone and iconic is how much you own it.
That is good advice.
You know?
That's really good advice. Because I can, you know, you think about, you know, we just had Folsom East out here a couple of weeks ago. And of course it was Pride. And I was just at International Miss Leather in April. And yeah, you do see sometimes folks who they're like wearing the outfit, but they're not wearing the outfit, or like the outfit's kind of wearing them,
right, as opposed to the outfit's an expression of them.
Yeah. And you can see, and you know, like, no shade, sometimes people need it, takes practice,
right? Yeah. Oh, there was this one IML contestant the year I got to judge International Mr. Leather.
Nice.
He was so fantastic. Oh my God, showed up in black leather pants,
mm-hmm,
as is the tradition,
mm-hmm,
and knee-high boots, platform, high heel.
Love that.
Corseted with a leather shirt and this handmade, stunningly made, I can only describe it as lace made of leather cape.
Whoa. And so like, whoa, like a...
There were pieces sewn together. And strode onto stage
with a
flare.
Oh my God, I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have seen those sort of like leather lace things where I think that it's almost like a cutout.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a cut work.
Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah.
He sounds great.
Fierce.
Yeah, sounds
powerful.
Really fabulous.
And
femme.
All gendered. Pan-gendered.
I love that.
Pan-gendered power.
That's really fucking cool.
There were certain segments that were uncomfortable with that, but
I'm sure
that this contestant really expressed the fullness of their existence.
Oh my God, I love that.
Yeah.
Did they win?
No, but made an awesome, awesome showing.
That's great. That's so great. Oh.
And the guy who won the title fully celebrated everybody's expression.
That is what a title holder should do.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to episode 50. Follow at Tina Horns Ass on Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe on Acast, iTunes, etc. And take a few seconds to write a review and tell your friends about the show. Visit wirepeopleintothat.com to subscribe to our newsletter and listen to our entire archive. As ever, Wire People Into That is produced and hosted by yours truly, Tina Horn. Our theme song is by Vivid Windows from Oakland, California, and this project is supported in part by my generous High Heel Warrior patrons. Get in touch with your feminine side by pledging patreon.com/TinaHorn. Until next time, I'll be collecting reparations from the patriarchy.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.